For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Human history began with man knowing God. Even now, man knows God. God has given him a witness, an external witness, verse 20. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. And God gave him an internal witness. Look at verse 19. That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. You see, he gives us the ability to understand the external witness. God is knowable, and in fact, he is known.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study of the book of Romans, and Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Without Excuse. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1, first chapter of Romans. Our text is verses 19 through 23, and the more I look at Romans 1, the more I see the centrality of the truths that are in this chapter for understanding the gospel and understanding life and understanding Christianity. And so I would encourage you to look at it carefully. Be reading Romans. Read it in connection. Read the whole book. But we want to take some time here. And our text, as I said, is 19 through 23. But I want to read around the text a bit, because the connection ought not to be lost. So, and as I read, I'm going to start at verse 18. You might just think of the evening news or glimpses you get inside people's homes, the heartache that's poured out over coffee, maybe at the office when you get talking with a coworker, or maybe some in your extended family, or maybe in the home that you live in, the tensions and the wreckage of sin. And listen to the description as the Holy Spirit gives it to us here at the beginning of Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, as I say, whether you're really listening to the text of Romans 1, or just really listening, stepping back and listening to the evening news, or when you step back and look around you at people today and the heartache and the wreckage in lives, you see it everywhere. Violence, hatred, murder, rape, deceit, destruction, registered molesters, malice, greed, corruption, strife, killing, custody battles, and on and on and on it goes. And you say, yeah, I get enough of that. Really, when I think about it. So, you know, we used to turn to the sports page, didn't we? To kind of escape that. What do you read now? If it's not an ear bitten off, it's a knee clubbed, coach choked, paternity suits. It just goes on and on, everywhere you turn. You say, well, we'll wait for the Olympics. We'll get away from it. Greed, corruption. It's amazing. You say, what went wrong? Is this the way it was supposed to be? Is this the world that... And Romans answers, no. No. This is ungodliness. This is unrighteousness. The wrath of God falls on this. Presently now, we saw last week in verse 18. And all the wreckage of sin that you see wherever you look, and this amazingly up-to-date description of it, it all flows from man's skewed thoughts about God. His wrong thinking about God. And his wrong ideas about God, his wrong thinking about God, he didn't come to it innocently. He turned away from knowledge of the true God. And this is what resulted. Now you stop and think about that and let that sink in. He had true knowledge of God. He turns away from it. And here's what you get. Now, that's the true picture. And that's what Romans gives as you just... That's why I wanted to read it in connection. Because man willfully turned away from God. And man, verse 20, is without excuse. You see, the true picture is not man seeking to find God. It's not man making progress from kind of a grunting caveman carrying a club around to a civilized, nice guy that never would think of hurting anyone. That's what we think of oftentimes, and that's the way it's portrayed history. But that's not the way it really went. And the idea is not, the true picture is not man seeking to find truth and God and nobility. No, the true picture is man turning away from God. And it is not an upward evolution. It is a downward crash, you might say, as he turns away from God. And look at verse 18. He is not seeking truth. Man is suppressing truth. And he turns away from God and all that is good and all that is noble. And... Now watch Paul kind of expound it and explain it, starting in verse 19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Human history began with man knowing God. Even now, man knows God. God has given him a witness, an external witness, verse 20, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. The creation itself testifies of God to man. So we have the external witness, and God gave him an internal witness. Look at verse 19. That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. You see, he gives us the ability to understand the external witness. God is knowable. And in fact, he is known. I have never met a real atheist. Never. I know, I've met a few, quite a few really, who claim to be atheists. But the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I know many people try to act and live as if there is no God. The 10th Psalm says, the wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. He doesn't want God, so he says, there is no God. But he knows. He knows. In fact, that's the 10th Psalm, verse 4. All his thoughts, there is no God. But you read on in the Psalm, and the 11th verse, after it details some of his living as if there is no God, here's what he says in the 11th verse, God has forgotten. He's hidden his face. He'll never see it. He says there is no God, but even if there is a God, he doesn't care about what we do, and he doesn't, and you hear people talk that way all the time, don't you? Sometimes the louder they proclaim their atheism, the more they'll justify why, even if there was a God, and if there is a God, they know there's a God. Now, some retreat to and fancy themselves quite proud of it usually. Oh, they wouldn't claim to be an atheist. They say, I'm agnostic. You really can't know. And they'll kind of chuckle at your foolish black and white view of acting as if you know what can't be known. But God says, oh yes, they know. They know. He's talking about the whole race here. God has made it. Look at verse 19. That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. We can and do know. For since the creation of the world, he's been known, even though they knew God, verse 21. Look at the language there. Verse 19. God is not hidden. He is evident. Twice he says it. He is known. Verse 20, he is clearly seen, being understood. Even though they knew, verse 21, that's the language of Revelation. God will have no man come before him on judgment day and say, I didn't know. Oh, yes, you did. If you're here today and you fancy yourself atheist or agnostic, you're dreaming. God says, you know. And you can try to deny it. You can deny it loudly. You've got every freedom to for a short while. But God says today that you know. And in fact, he's describing the whole race here. You see, God has never left himself without a witness. Ever since what? Look at verse 20. Since creation. Since the creation of the world, God has made himself clearly no. Now, Paul didn't hesitate to make use of this. When he came on people who were what we'd call uneducated, turn over to Acts 14. Look at Acts 14 for just a minute. Paul would go right to it with this truth when he was talking with real people, and we should too. I oftentimes tell people, you know, and they say, oh, well, I don't know, though. Yes, you do. And I don't mean that we should be obnoxious in someone's face. And if you're here and you've fancied yourself an atheist, I don't mean to offend you. I mean to tell you, you do know. And if you'll open your eyes and think, if you'll be honest, even within your heart, you know. Acts 14, you remember they had done, and this is so true, when man rejects the true God, he doesn't live in a vacuum. He never or seldom just stays in that atheistic vacuum. He just about always fills it with idolatry, and we see that in Romans. We're going to see it moves right into worshiping false gods. But they were busy worshiping the false gods, and so when Paul and Barnabas came to town, they started to offer sacrifices to them, and Paul came rushing out into the crowd and said, don't do this. In verse 15, right in the middle, he said, listen, the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, that's who we're telling you to worship. And in generations gone by, verse 16, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, and yet he did not leave himself without witness. What do you mean? In that he gave. He did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons and satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. The God who created the world, the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that's in it, he didn't leave you without a witness. In fact, he sends the rains. He sends spring right after winter. He brings the growing season every year. He left himself plenty of witness. Or when he talked to the intellectuals, turn over to chapter 17, Acts 17. When he talked to the intellectuals, he spoke the same way. You know, he said, and his spirit was provoked as he walked through town, the university town, Athens, and saw all the idols that they were worshiping. And then he found one to the unknown God, and that just triggered him. He said, listen, I see here you've got this unknown God, the one that you worship in ignorance, verse 23, I'm picking it up there at the end of verse 23. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he's Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. The Lord of heaven and earth, who made all these things, he says. He doesn't dwell in a little temple that you build for him, or you can't capture him in a statue or an idol. Oh, no. For in him we live and move and exist, he says, verse 28 and verse 27. They should seek God. Man should seek God from the witness of the creation. Now, Paul asserts that right at the beginning of this systematic explanation of the gospel. Since the creation of the world, he has been known. Man in ungodliness has suppressed that knowledge and has turned away from it. But I want us to enjoy it for a minute. It's good for us. We should. In fact, we should regularly worship God. The Bible shows him worship from A to Z for his creation. The psalmist says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The psalmist looks at the sky and he says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Whether he looks at night, and they tell me, and there have been several attempts to count the stars that you can see with the naked eye, and they tell me from any particular vantage point you can maybe see 1,000, and that's a marvel in itself when you get out there in a dark night, maybe over in Eastern Oregon, away from the light, and see it looks like more than that. But they say with the naked eye you can see, if you were at every point on the earth, all the different vantage points, perhaps 4,000 stars. And the psalmist says that declares the glory of God. And then the daytime when he sees the sun rise and set, so to speak, and sweep across the sky. He says, this declares the glory of God. We're looking at it in Genesis, when the Bible majestically simply says, he created the heavens and the earth and spoke all that we see into existence. And you know, just less than a century ago, scientists thought that the Milky Way was the whole universe. That's all there was. Now, that would be an impressive universe. We can't fathom it. I mean, you see 4,000 stars with the naked eye. The Milky Way, it's estimated to have our galaxy 200 billion stars. Think about it. They say, you know, traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second. In a year, what we call a light year, you go 6 trillion miles. Our mind starts to lose the ability to grasp. And it would take, going 6 trillion miles, it would take 100,000 years to travel across the Milky Way. I mean, if that were the universe, we would say, how majestic is thy name, O Lord. But in 1924, Edwin Hubble, down at the Wilson Observatory in Southern California, discovered, just, you know, 75 years ago, that that isn't all. There's other galaxies. And now we know from the Hubble Space Station that there's a lot of other galaxies, isn't there? And they looked more closely just recently at what they thought was a spot where there were no stars visible, the darkest point. And there are several points that are just absolutely no stars, it seems. And at that point, they focused in with more intricate machinery and ability to see. And at that point where it's the least populated, you might say, with stars, if you were to take a dime and hold it out there at arm's length, that dime would be covering, at that darkest point, 1,000, not stars, galaxies. In fact, if you go to the more populated points and held a grain of sand out at arm's length, the grain of sand would cover from your eye out there 1,500 galaxies. The last estimate they have, as they're learning more and more of what's out there, 100 billion galaxies. And the Milky Way is just one of them. I mean, your mind is unable to grasp it, is it not? We ought to say, oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. And that's exactly what the psalmist says. Listen to him. He says, oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost take thought of him? And the Son of Man, that thou dost care for him. Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and majesty. Since the creation of the world, God's eternal power has been known. And when you look at the vastness, you might say, and this is what man trying to hide from God does say, we're just nothing. We're just insignificant. We're just a little speck here, and there's nothing. But the psalmist says, what is man that thou wouldst care for him? But you do. In fact, you made us. And then as the scientists train their scopes inward and start to understand the minute and the microscopic, the human body made up of a trillion cells. And the more we learn, the more we ought to worship God.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Without Excuse, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're thrilled to announce the publication of a new book written by Pastor Scott Gilchrist. It's called A Brief Exposition of Romans. It's a 266-page chapter-by-chapter commentary on Romans that we're sure will enhance your understanding of this critical book in the New Testament. The book is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and most other online booksellers. But during our study of Romans, we'd like to send you a copy as a thank you for a gift of any amount to the ministry of Downtown Bible. You can find us online at downtownbible.org or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon, 97280. We'd love to put this valuable resource in your hands. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 AM. It's best to check the 800 AM program guide for up-to-the-minute schedule adjustments. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Man, in turning away from God's revelation, is without excuse. But man, what's his evaluation of it? He's pretty happy with his speculations. Look back at Romans now, and we've got to close. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they become fools. Man, he figures he's pretty smart. He professes to be wise. You know, sometimes I remember on the university where I spent 4 years, I saw carved on one of the main buildings a scriptural verse, just a portion of one. You shall know the truth. That's all it said. You shall know the truth. And I often thought they ought to carve this verse right here on some of these buildings. Professing to be wise, they become fools. What should we do? What should we do? Paul stood up at Athens and he said, God is calling on you to repent.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, Without Excuse. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.